it's so crazy when you have these conversations with people, how like you see their emotional ebb and flow through one single 10-minute conversation, right? Like you see them get super upset, super hyped up, and then you kind of see them calming down, and then you kind of see them at the end sort of come to your side. Some people need more time. They need a day to sleep on something, and then you have to kind of go back to them. But you know, the way you communicate these things is so important, right? Like you have to be direct. You have to be firm. You can't be like too swayed by the emotions that this individual may be showing you, because as a leader, you have to keep the ship going in a certain direction.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the Emotional Intelligence Podcast, a podcast where we explore the intersection of emotional intelligence and leadership. And whether you're a seasoned executive or just starting out in your leadership journey, we're going to share practical tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you develop your emotional intelligence and achieve your goals. So sit back, relax, and get ready to take your leadership skills to the next level. I'm Ismail.
And I'm Samir. Hello and welcome, everyone. Ismail, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you very much. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm actually recording from a remote location today, not in my usual studio. So I appreciate you being flexible with the time of this recording.
100%.
Yeah. So Ismail and I today wanted to touch on a topic that's kind of propped up for both of us more recently and something we've been talking about kind of sidebar. And we thought, hey, this would actually be a pretty decent episode or decent topic for an episode and something that could really help our listeners. And so the topic we wanted to focus on today is how to deal with difficult people at work. And it seems to be a issue that every single person runs into, whether your boss is difficult or one of your subordinates or peers is difficult. Dealing with difficult people at work is kind of a universal problem.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think difficult doesn't necessarily have to be like a negative connotation, but like challenging for various reasons. Yeah. And I think it's everyone through and through, whether it's the beginning of your career or right at the end of your career, you're going to have this problem or challenge.
Yeah. And I could speak firsthand experience that there's been a number of people that I've worked with closely that outside of certain work situations are amazing people. Like, you know, if they want to go out to dinner, grab coffee, even go play golf or something, it's like, I would love to spend time with you. But as soon as we get into a work context and potentially an idea I have is challenging their perception of how things should go or their concept of how something should be run, mm-hmm. the claws come out, or yeah. they suddenly become the most difficult person to deal with. So again, I think it's kind of just mimicking your point there, Ismail, that difficult doesn't necessarily mean someone's a bad person.
Right. Right. I'm curious, what are some of the ways that, and because these can be subtle, but what are some of the ways that you can identify or see like, hey, this person is going into difficult territory?
Sure. So I think the most common example for me is resistance to a particular change and how it's going to impact somebody personally. And it kind of goes back to an episode that we did in the past talking about how an individual, when their freedom potentially gets threatened, they go into kind of a fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
And so you see that more in like kind of reactionary, emotional individuals who, as soon as you bring an idea that may go against the way that they want to do something, or if they see like something, some freedom of theirs being threatened, they suddenly go into like lockdown, defensive, resistant to change. They may become super negative about your ideas, or, you know, the worst is the passive aggressive, like kind of, you know, sometimes it's not so direct and apparent,
right.
but it comes out in other ways. Right. So, I think for me, those are the situations where I see it the most is, folks that, you know, in business, there's constant flux and change, and they're just not willing to adapt.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily even need to be targeted to you. It could be just in general. And even if it's tangential, like the resistance is tangential to you, it will impact you and others because that's just the mode they're in, right? They're in this protection mode.
Right, right. Again, like they, so you see this a lot with managers who manage teams. Managers are, they may agree with the rationale for the change, but they are not sure about their ability to gain buy-in from their team. They see the, they see the resistance mounting, or they see incumbent resistance from their team, and they're like, hey, pump the brakes. I'm not okay with this, because they may agree with what you're saying, but they don't want to deal with the backlash of their own team. And that's a tough position to be in.
I have this interesting smirk on my face for those of you that are just listening rather than watching. But I know for a fact, like early on in my career and leading people, and it doesn't even have to be as a manager, but let's just say in a position of authority or subject matter expert, you feel like some of your credibility is being degraded or taken away just by having someone else's idea put into place, or someone coming up with, like, we'll just say, quote unquote, better idea. And really, I don't think that has anything to do necessarily with a person's abilities. It has everything to do with, like, their perception. And I know for a fact that I have been resistant to change, regardless of whether it's the right or wrong thing to do, purely because of my personal emotions, purely about how it made me feel.
And in those moments, finding the ability to overcome that is difficult. And so, you know, we're sitting here talking about dealing with difficult people in the workplace, but, you know, there's no question you and I have been that difficult person for somebody else in the past. So that's why I think one of the things that's important is when we're entering these situations where there could be some potential friction, assessing the emotional intelligence of both parties, right? Not like, hey, looking in the mirror at myself and saying, you know, I am being self-aware of how you're going to react when they become defensive. And then also understanding the personality traits of the folks, you know, that's that social awareness piece, like understanding others and their emotions and being able to manage them to a positive outcome. A lot of that happens through experience, right? So I've been on the current team that I'm on for 3 years. I've gotten to know a lot of folks on my team. I can almost predict what's going to happen, right? So, but taking note of those things and paying attention to them so that when you enter situations where you need to have those difficult conversations, that you're more equipped, to have a positive outcome because you're managing to that, right? You're understanding the other person very well.
And I think what's important to know in that point that you described was you're not acting the same way to all the time. Like you know, you might have a style, but you might have to be kid gloves with one person, but pretty firm, direct, and straight with another.
Yeah.
For the same idea, but different circumstances, right? Different people, different environment.
And meeting people where they need to be met, right? Like there's going to be certain people where they're going to say yes to you regardless because they're like rank and file, like, hey, Samir's telling me I need to do this. I'm just going to do it. And for them, you might have to kind of like, you know, peel it back a couple layers and be like, are you sure you're okay with this? Are you understanding why this is important? And then you enter into the same conversation with somebody else and you know it's going to be immediate blowback, right? Like This person's just going to be like, absolutely not. So then you have to prepare differently for that person and kind of come in with a different mentality. So that's kind of what we mean by assessing the personality of the person you're going to be communicating with before you go into that conversation.
That's right. And also point in time assessment of your own state. Because if you're tired, if you're hungry, you might need to know that you're going to be a little bit on edge. But for the most part, like you and I are talking about it from a perspective of experience with high EQ, knowing, okay, you know what? I'm going to take a very delicate approach in this situation, but each person is different. It's almost like you have to file it away, take a moment before you're going to go approach someone or approach a certain topic and pull that file out and just do a quick review. Like, okay, how am I going to prepare for this? And one of the things, I'm not sure what your preference is, I'm guilty of this, even though I will espouse or suggest to people, like, eat the frog first, meaning go after your most difficult person, get it out of the way. I usually don't do that. I usually wait till the end.
Just wait till the end, right? Yeah, I'm like, you're more of a low-hanging fruit approach, I totally understand, man. It's the procrastination is real when it comes to having those difficult conversations. Yeah. But, you know, of course, you kind of gather data on your people over time, right? And that's kind of some of the equity that you build up with people is important. As you have these difficult conversations, it should get easier as the two of you kind of create that dynamic, that working relationship. But I'm thinking back to a direct report of mine, and a couple of things pop up in my head about the difficult conversations. One was, you know, this particular individual had a propensity to become very defensive, very quickly dig in. And so I always gave them a lot of reassurance before delivering the message, right? Like, I know, kind of like predicting the challenges that they're going to bring up and bringing it up before they can, right? And so it's like, I know your team is stretched thin right now. I know you guys are struggling with quality because of this issue. I know that, you know, the customers are starting to notice. And so this change that I'm about to bring up is, could potentially make that worse for you. But X, Y, and Z reason, I still think it's the way we should go. And you see them kind of relaxing because you're empathizing with their situation. And so, you know, being empathetic is so critical, is so important. And it almost like just all that flight or fight emotion that builds up in individuals that we referenced earlier, you kind of see it releasing from the body, right? And then now they're meeting you at their level. They're ready to have a rational conversation. So that's a trick that I think is highly underrated and very easy to do, right? It's putting yourself in their shoes.
Right. I mean, for me, just as you were describing that situation, I'm a huge fan of the trust perspective, building trust and equity with your people. And we're talking about, like, let's just say specifically people that report to you, because, you know, first line, you really want them on board. And I remember for me, there was they're generally the higher performers or bright people who really have a strong opinion towards something that I have to work with, right? And I'm not, and it's one of those situations where I'm like, you're right, but under the circumstances, the situation, the timing, we can't do what you're suggesting. We have to do it this way. And that's what I want to say. And it's not a bad way of saying it, but just listening to them and hearing what they have to say and responding rather than reacting. So, you know, there's obviously the empathetic aspect to it, right? And understanding, but taking a moment to really digest what they're saying and responding to that, saying, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Now, under the circumstances, we can't do this because, and there's the big why behind it. I'm a huge fan of here's the why. And it's like chipping away a little bit at a time. Cause I remember specifically the situation or the person that I'm thinking about, I would say let's just say a few months, they learned to trust me. And I learned to trust them more in the sense of, like, you know what, I'm going to let you run with that for a little while. See if it works. If it works, great. Let's go with it. If not, defer to me.
I love that because it really is two different approaches, both of which are good. Like, the approach that I brought up was more proactive, right? You kind of let them know that you understand their position before you bring up what may upset them. In your situation, you let them get upset, right? You let them get it out, but then you're ready to pause and kind of reflect and be super emotionally even in responding to that person. And so your way could actually work better because you're letting them get the venting done. But sometimes venting can lead to derailing, is one thing that I've noticed, right? So you let them vent too hard and now they're so riled up, you can't bring them back. And then my approach of being proactive and upfront could come off as disingenuous, right? They're just like, this person's just doing lip service. They're just telling me what I want to hear. They don't mean it because they didn't even listen to me. If they listened to me, they would know, you know? And so there's risks and pros and cons to both approaches, but you kind of have to understand your, like, you know, KYP, know your personnel, and make the proper, you know, election at that time, I think is the way to play that. So, but yeah, I love that. I love what you said. You got to hear him out, man. You got to be willing to listen.
I mean, I think in your situation though, you've probably heard them. You already know what they're going to say. And so you're just kind of like jumping towards it. You might still let them, but the derailing thing is actually a problem.
It is huge.
Yeah. And I will actually preempt the derailing with, all right, we're going to do 10 minutes. Go.
Unload.
Because I know it's going to be like, they need to do it. It's like some people just need to like, just, and once they get it out of their system, they're totally fine.
It's so crazy when you have these conversations with people, how like you see their emotional ebb and flow through one single 10 minute conversation, right? Like you see them get super upset, super hyped up, and then you kind of see them calming down, and then you kind of see them at the end sort of come to your side. Some people need more time. They need a day to sleep on something, and then you have to kind of go back to them. But you know, the way you communicate these things is so important, right? Like you have to be direct. You have to be firm. You can't be like too swayed by the emotions that this individual may be showing you, because as a leader, you have to keep the ship going in a certain direction, right? So if somebody's reaction is causing you to flip-flop or waffle, that's going to have a whole nother set of challenges that you're going to notice in the future. And you know, pandering to a difficult employee is a very short term benefit, because in the long term your team will suffer, and then the people that you mentioned, the high performers, or not even high performers I should say, but like the more of the team players, they end up being punished, right?
Yeah, because they're gonna get resentful because their voice
gets minimized, and so that's a huge negative consequence that we don't want people that to be punished because they're you know, being team players, right?
Mm-hmm, so you do want to make everyone feel included, right? I don't want to use the term inclusive because that means something different, but I think you need to if you have a group of people, you have opposing ideas within your team, even just the words that you use change the outcome. And I think they, you know, saying accommodating some people or talking about that accommodation in a collaborative way, saying, mm-hmm. hey, we're a team, guys. We're going to help each other out this time.
Yeah, yeah.
It really does make a difference. It puts things in perspective.
It really does.
You know, I was thinking just as another thing, as you were saying, I was visualizing a map, like Google Maps, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. And thinking about watching people's emotions ebb and flow, like you said mm-hmm. earlier, it's not necessarily just this binary or two-dimensional thing where it's like, oh, they're upset. No, now they're not. Mm-hmm. It's actually a path that you're going to take, and you've already plugged in a route, and you know you're going to go left here, turn right, go straight, and that's your planned route. But if you're going to hit a detour, if you hit like construction mm-hmm. and something that you didn't expect, you have to be prepared to have another route.
Yeah.
And those things take practice. Like if you're stuck in your route, like I'm going this way no matter what, we all know you're just going to hit a roadblock and game over. You're stuck.
Absolutely. So being nimble and adaptable yourself in those conversations.
Yeah. And, or even being like, you not knowing the path, if it's someone new, and being nimble and open to like taking some detours to get to the path. It's just, you have to be okay with even just not getting your way sometimes.
I agree. That's actually a really good analogy. At the end, when approaching these, it's kind of been a progression for me in my career, right? At the beginning, dealing with a difficult employee was a huge challenge. It was something that would stress me out quite a bit. I would lose sleep over it. And a lot of new managers do, right? And then they start gravitating toward the people that are making their lives potentially easier rather than not. And then, but as I've progressed in my career, I've started to see those difficult individuals as like a challenge, right? And like I embrace it, and I almost enjoy bringing them to my side. It's like, all right, like I need to kind of like, you know, there's like these, what do they say? Like tame these horses, you know, like, but that's where like the coaching part of it comes in. Right.
Yes.
And so, you look at a person like that and you're like, hey, I can really help them. Like they mm-hmm. don't understand, they might not even be aware or self-aware of how difficult they are. They might just be thinking that, you know, they have to be this way for a specific reason. And you can kind of bring them to the other side and be like, hey, you can meet both your objectives. You can still look out for yourself and your team. But you could also, you know, see the bigger picture and everybody can get along better and collaborate better. And there could be positive changes that way.
And there's two things that are happening at that point. You're growing as a leader by coaching and mentoring. We'll just say coaching, right? You're coaching people. And you're also taking an opportunity to learn and figure out why the person is, we'll say, being defensive, resistant, negative in the first place. Because like you said, like what if they're like, well, you know, one of my old managers or when I was in my old group, I had to be this way or I never got my way. You're like, okay, well, that gives you some perspective, and reassuring them on that front opens up the doors to other positive outcomes. And they may not know that. They may just think that's the norm. I think the more difficult direction though is going from a team, say, like working for yourself, who is open and collaborative and highly emotionally intelligent, going to a highly emotionally intelligent leader. That's more of the difficult direction because you're actually going nowhere. But it's a learning opportunity. For me, I think of it, you're in your comfort zone. That's say going to all the people that that agree with you. If they're just yes people, that's kind of like easy, comfortable. And the minute you step out of that, like that learning or we'll say growth zone, it's difficult because you're pushing yourself. Like think about the gym, right? You're trying to grow your muscles. It's painful. And then there's the learning zone. If you can continue past the growth zone where you're like, you know what? I am going to work with those people. It's worth it. They have a lot of potential. And this is a great idea that I need to push through for various reasons. Once you're able to kind of stick yourself in that situation so many times, you realize that there is light at the end of the tunnel and there's huge growth afterwards, whether it be reduced anxiety because you're not worried about that difficult person, or you're like, hey, now, because being able to convince people of things or influence people is a huge skill to have for not just leaders or managers, but just, you know, you in your work world in general, your career, being able to influence people is a very important trait to have.
Sure. And it's usually the difficult people that are the biggest challenge to influence. So yeah, I think at the end of the day, like when we look at this topic as a whole, to me, the one takeaway for our listeners is really focus on and try to understand your people. Understand what makes them the way they are, right? Is what's their motivators? Like, is, you know, I've found that folks that are highly motivated to grow within an organization, helping them understand that in order to be a leader that's going to progress to a high level within the company, you have to be able to think about the welfare of the entire company, not just the welfare of you and your team. You know, managers focus on themselves and their team. Leaders focus on the welfare of the entire company. I think we've talked about this in previous episodes. So kind of reminding them of that when they're like, hey, I'm a high growth person. I want to grow. I want to take on more responsibility. Well, you need to start acting like it, right? And then there's other individuals, like we had Kashelle Kelly on in a previous episode. And, you know, she talked about the emotional state of, or the generational trauma that African Americans are bringing to work, and how that impacts how they show up at work. So, you know, and each culture has different nuances and different challenges. You know, I know people who I work with or have worked with Eastern Europeans, you know, the way they communicate is very direct. They are very, you know, they I have had seen that they're a little more confrontational, you know, a little more, you know, they don't hold back. And so that's been a challenge that I've had to deal with in my career, is understanding how to communicate with those people, but not ever looking at it as, you know, these are good people or bad people. They're all good people. They just have the way they present, the way they show up is different. And it's our job as managers to learn about our people, understand them, meet them in their comfort zone, and figure out ways to make that difficult employee understand them. And that understanding will breed ease. And that's really where we're at right now.
And we'll be clear, like, this is not about pandering. We're not pandering to these people. We're understanding. And I think it's important to have your own, you know, guardrails, meaning you have your limits, and it's important that you make those clear. And as people go outside of those guardrails, because there's certain behaviors that are not fair or not appropriate, or even just like processes, you know, going around processes that are maybe unacceptable, and you just enforcing those consistently. And I mean, I think consistency is super key in these situations. And also, this is not necessarily just in terms of, you know, another key takeaway. It's not just about being nice. You know, we have mentioned this, you know, in a few different episodes. It's not about being nice. I think it's about, like you said, understanding and being fair. And sometimes that means that you have to just, you know, put your foot down, we'll say, and say, okay, we're going this direction for now. Or sometimes that means, you know what, I'm gonna let this slide this time. And I think what I'm getting at is, like, pick and choose your battles.
And there's no greater killer of culture than pandering to a difficult employee or a difficult person and making other people around them be the sacrificial lamb, right? And so I've had that firsthand experience where, you know, I've either been the person who's been sacrificed for somebody else who is unwilling to bend. And I've also been a young manager who's, you know, just asked other people to understand because I don't have it in me to convince these difficult people how to do it. So just do it, man. Come on, just help me out. And that's really wrong too. So, you know, when you talk about it, you know, setting guardrails, but then enforcing them consistently, it is really about uniform across the board, you know, and I think that when I learn to do that is when the culture of my team has improved dramatically. And if somebody is not willing to bend ever, or is not willing to come around, then that's when you have to make those difficult decisions and say, I don't think you're a good fit for my team. Right. And so, those decisions need to be made. But Ismail, man, really enjoyed this conversation. I think it was cathartic in a way for us. We just had to kind of vent it out ourselves. But it kind of reinforced a lot of the principles that we put in practice every single day. And it's always nice to talk about it with you. And we hope that our listeners learned some things and had some practical takeaways that they can implement in their day-to-day management functions. And so thank you, man. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Emotional Intelligence Podcast. We hope you found it informative and enjoyable. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review on your favorite platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more people. If you're interested in learning more about the topics we discussed today, be sure to check out the show notes for links and resources. You can find them by visiting our website. And if you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at info@emotionalintelligence.com or connect with us on social media by using the links in the show notes.